Anyway, welcome everybody to Bradford and Avon Community Church's Christmas celebration 2023. Ooh. My name's Steve, and this is?
My name's Joe. I'm Steve's other half. Welcome, everybody.
Some would say my better half, but there we are. That's it. So you can see the theme of this evening is Emmanuel, God is with us. And we'll be coming back to that theme as we go through the evening. Can you imagine the situation? Here is Joseph. He's an honest, upstanding member of the community. He's a craftsman who would have been a valued person in the village where he lived. And suddenly, he finds out that the girl he is intending to marry is pregnant. So much must have been racing through Joseph's mind at that point. Fortunately, God recognized Joseph's dilemma, and we read about what happened next in Matthew's gospel.
But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
I'm just going to ask Chris to cue the video now.
key of David, come and open wide thy heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery.
Would you stand with us and sing this chorus? Rejoice.
Rejoice.
Sing it again.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to me, O
it's a band called For King and Country, and they sing a lot of contemporary songs, but they did a Christmas concert a few years ago, and that is one of my favourites from that concert. But you know, the key message there was the bit at the end. So it's a very familiar song, isn't it, that we've heard many Christmases, we've heard many variations of that song over the years. But the bit at the end was the important bit. Won't you come? And really, the invite really is for all of us, whether we know and love the Lord Jesus or whether we don't, whether we're exploring our faith, it doesn't really matter. The invitation is clear, won't you come? And so this evening, the presentation this evening is all about that, really. It's about that Emmanuel, God is with us. And the invitation is, won't you come? So hopefully you'll enjoy this evening. There is some all sorts of things going on, and we'll some carol singing as well. And on that note, I'm going to invite the band to come and join me up here. Hoping that all the technical stuff is still the same way as we left it when we were doing rehearsals earlier. And we're going to sing together, and I invite you to stand if you're able to sing "O Come, All Ye Faithful."
Oh, come.
Please have a seat. I see you're standing there expectantly. That's really good. I could have made you do some exercises at that point. Anyway, I'm going to ask Samuel if you want to come up and do our first reading.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thanks, Samuel. Now we're going to sing again. Now we're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, but it's going to be to a different tune. So, yeah, and we're not going to be singing all the verses either. So the words will be on the screen behind me, but I'm going to invite the band to sing through the first verse segment once, and then you can all join in once you've got hooked up with the tune. Okay.
Miriam's going to share a story of how God's been with her this year on her travels. Come and join us. Welcome. Can you tell us a bit about yourself to start?
Sure. Hello, everyone. My name's Miriam, and I've been abroad for most of this year. It started off in Tasmania in January, where I was looking for a job, and by May, found myself in Japan, and then I briefly came home in June to then go to Israel, where I did a lot of walking. So I've been around a bit.
Definitely. That's more than a lot of us have done, isn't it? So, Miriam, the theme for this evening is God is with us. So, on your travels, can you tell us how you felt that God was with you? It's a big question.
It is a really big question. I knew him with, he was with me just through practical provisions. I obviously needed a lot of things to happen while I was away. Like I mentioned, I needed a job. So I prayed about that, and I feel that was something God provided for me. I was looking for a particular type of job to extend my visa, and it wasn't so easy to come by. And in the end, I tried and failed for about a month of trying to find this specific job, and kind of coming to the end of myself, and I was offered a lift to a national park nearby, so I said, yeah, okay, today I won't write CVs, I'll just go. And I turned up and I asked if anyone was hiring, and they said, we are. So it was amazing, and I ended up living on a beach which is ranked as one of the best in the world. And it was an amazing job. I got to do all the walking and things I liked. I could never have planned that myself. So I feel like that was a practical thing God was with me in. He also practically provided for food and clothing I needed through people I met, and I just felt that that was from him. Another way I felt that God was with me was through protection and peace in many things. In Australia, I had a few scenarios where I felt that God was definitely with me. I found myself in a wildfire in Western Australia when I was walking. I had to walk 25 miles out, but I made it, and I felt like God gave me peace in that situation where I wasn't explainable in any other way. And also in Australia and Israel, lots of snake situations, which were quite close for comfort. And I definitely prayed a lot in those, and I feel like God gave me protection in those. And then when I was in Israel and I was hiking, and on the 7th of October, I woke up in my tent to find myself in a country at war. And I had an unexplainable peace. Then I knew that God, everything he took me through Australia and Japan until now, he wasn't going to leave me then. So I had this peace that I couldn't explain to anyone that I met. And he, again, practically provided me ways, people to stay with, bunkers at the right time, to be in the right place at the right time. And to get out of the war that I found myself in. And through that whole time, I can say God was definitely with me. And finally, I think that that's only possible because I have this personal relationship with God. And if I hadn't had that, and if I didn't really believe in him, I wouldn't have had that peace, and I wouldn't have necessarily had those practical provisions either through my own workings and my own strength. So, I think through knowing God as, personally and talking to him through everything was another way.
And long. I mean, it's very broad for you. So, what do you hope for the future? I mean, what's next after all that exciting traveling?
I really don't know. And what I've learned is every time I try and plan something, his plans are always better than mine. So my only hope really this year is that I know him more and to know him deeper in all situations in life, and whether that be practically or emotionally or spiritually or in all needs, just to know him more in those times.
Wow, that's amazing. If there's anyone here that doesn't know God personally, have you got something special you want to say to them?
Just from my experience is that he will never let you down. But first and foremost, God would like you to invite him first. And it's up to you how much you involve him in your life. It doesn't have to be everything to start with, but he's always there and he will never let you down. And he never left me in any of the situations where it looked helpless or pretty bad. And he'd never leave you. And he ultimately just wants to be your friend and to enjoy your life with him. And so everything that we go through, we can share with him, the good and the bad. And he's always given me more than I need in peace and practical things. So that's something that's available, not just to me, that's to everybody. And I'd encourage you to try and know that, have this relationship or know God in this intimate way, where it's not just a religion, it's a relationship.
Amazing. Thank you very much, Miriam, for sharing that. That's good to know, isn't it, that we can all have... Yeah, give her a round of applause. It's good to know that we can all have that personal relationship with God, whatever we're going through in life. So while we're pondering that, we're going to sing our next carol, which is Silent Night.
Have a seat. And now I'm going to invite Christina and I think Samuel's going to come and read, and they're going to do a special presentation.
When God made this world, it was perfect. Everything was in harmony. Everything was good. The soil was pure and produced good food. When he made people, he wanted them to live together peacefully and share all the good things they made for us. But some people were greedy and wanted to own things, not share them. Sin had come and spoiled our beautiful world. Bad things began to happen. Some people became rich and no longer shared what they had. God was so sad. This is not what he wanted. He sent his son Jesus back into the world to show us how to live good lives. Jesus came as a baby born on to earthly parents to grow up among us. He became a great man, and in his short lifetime, he showed us how to live better lives. He told us if we shared what we had with others, no one would be hungry. Everyone would have a home. Children would live happy lives. Countries would work together to make the world perfect again. Some people understood and changed their ways and gave their lives to follow Jesus. These people will be saved and go to heaven. But the people who would not change will be judged. Jesus is the only light in this world. This Christmas, let him be the light in your life.
While they're finishing off taking the little candles around, hopefully there's enough for pretty much everybody. We're going to sing another carol. We're going to sing Once in Royal David City. So again, if you're able to, let's stand and sing this carol together whilst the children are finishing off doing the candles.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got another reading now, and Kevin's going to share that with us.
Hi, everyone. I'm reading from Luke 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them.
Thanks, Kevin. We've got a song next, and it is one that you don't have to sing to. You may know it. It was written a few years ago by Matt Redman and Chris Tomlin. It's a beautiful song, really talks about the true meaning of Christmas, and the band are just going to play and sing for us now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for that. That was really beautiful. Candice is going to do our next reading for us.
Evening, everyone. How wonderful it is to be here together. I always feel this time of year, that's not what I should be saying, but they picked me. It's so wonderful to be here and to just remember this message. And that song just made my whole heart just fill with joy. So it's nice to be here with all of you. What I do need to read is this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Come to me, all you who have labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Enjoy the rest of the evening.
I'm just going to ask, we're going to have a bit of a meditation, a bit of a quiet moment with a bit of reading and with some video. So just enjoy this next moment. Use it as an opportunity to reflect on what you've heard so far. Maybe just to think about on the things that you're about to hear. And as we go forward into the rest of the evening, just to get that reaction. Chris, thanks. Emmanuel, whenever we sing this carol, we ask not once, but twice, that Emmanuel come. Perhaps the author who penned these words was so driven by a heartfelt longing for God's return to earth that he felt he must ask twice for Emmanuel's advent. Emmanuel, God with us, the name that sums up what Christmas means for the believer. It's not that God simply chose to become a man so that he could feel what it's like to be in our shoes, or that we needed a friend in God and he wanted to be more accessible. God made himself a servant. The infinite God gave up the beauty of heaven for a dirty and smelly stable. God himself was wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a feeding trough for a bed. God made himself vulnerable. Such mysteries can never be fully explained, but it's the story of God coming to man, God being with us, that lies at the heart of the Christian faith. Oh, be with us. Deep breaths. And imagine yourself standing in a dark room. You can't see anything around you, but then you notice a faint light in the distance. As you walk towards it, the light grows brighter and brighter until it fills the entire room. This is the light of Christ, shining in the darkness. As you bask in the warm glow of the light, take a moment to reflect on the hope, peace, joy, and love that Christ brings into your life. Think about the ways in which you can share that light with others, especially those who are struggling or in need. When you're ready, take another deep breath and remember that the light of Christ is always with you, even in the darkest of times. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, you, Jesus, put death's dark shadows to flight. Fear will never conquer me. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. Advent is a season of waiting, of acknowledging the darkness that surrounds us, both in the world and within ourselves. Yet in the midst of this darkness, we are invited to rejoice, for Emmanuel is coming to dispel the shadows. God is with us. Jesus did not only defeat sin and evil, he conquered the greatest enemy to God's good creation, death itself. Even 2,000 years later, through the tears and pain of suffering in this broken world, we can proclaim, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel will come again. So people of God, rejoice. The long night of exile will not last long. The morning star has risen in the sky. The dawn will soon break and night will be over forever. Picture the coming of Jesus that binds humanity together in love and understanding. O come, Emmanuel. With one voice we cry, O come, thou wisdom from on high, as we yearn for divine wisdom in our lives, a wisdom that brings clarity to confusion, understanding to uncertainty, light into darkness. O come, Emmanuel. We reach out to you, Jesus, to bring peace and rest in the midst of chaos and turmoil. O come, Emmanuel. This Christmas season, let your heart swell with the anticipation of the coming light that will shatter the darkness. Receive Jesus into your experience, your family, your life. O come, Emmanuel. It's amazing, isn't it, to think that God loves us so much that despite that all that goes on in our lives and this world, this one thing remains. God loves us, you and me. That as wonderful as that first Christmas was, ultimately it set in motion a sequence of events that led to a cross where Jesus was to die for all of us and then be raised to life. Again, that we might have a restored relationship with God. You know, maybe your experience of God is not like others and you don't feel that closeness to him. You have no relationship and no appreciation of what God can do for you. You've heard friends tell of their experience. And we've heard of an experience this evening from Miriam. And now you want to know more. Maybe you're looking for an understanding of who God is. You've spent time to intellectually try and understand and work it out, only to come back to where you started from. You're struggling to work out life's big questions. You have so many questions that you need answering. See, when Jesus came to the world as a baby, naturally he grew up. He didn't stay that way. And when he was about 30 years old, he called out 12 men to follow him as his disciples. He then spent the next 3 short years showing them amazing miracles, extraordinary healings, and teaching them many things about who he was and why he came into the world. In that teaching, he made 7 key I am statements to help explain who he was. And they can be found in the Gospel of John, if you go and look for them. The first one of those statements was, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he said this shortly after he'd fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the people wanted more free food. Well, who wouldn't? There'll be free food later, don't worry. But Jesus didn't want to keep filling their stomachs. He wanted them to see that physical food only satisfied hunger temporarily. But he was the one who could satisfy their spiritual hunger. He was saying he is the bread that provides life, and he can satisfy our spiritual needs forever. He said, I am the light of the world. And Jesus lets us know that in a world darkened by sin, he is holy and his light contrasts with the darkness of the world. He offers light and guidance to those stumbling in sin. He said, I am the gate for the sheep. And you know, in Israel, shepherds guard their flocks by putting them into stone enclosures, and then the shepherd would lie across the gateway to protect the sheep and stop the predators from coming in and attacking them. And Jesus is describing his care and constant devotion to those who are his by being the protector at the gate. How do you become his? You need to come into God's sheepfold. That's what you need to do. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. The only way to get into God's sheepfold or family is to go through Jesus, the gate or the entryway. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And here Jesus is describing his sacrificial love for his people. Unlike a hired man who will run away at the first sign of trouble, Jesus laid down his life. And he doesn't abandon his sheep, but he will keep watch over his people. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, death can bring a sense of despair, hopelessness, and finality. But Jesus shows us that he conquers death when he rose to life 3 days after his death on the cross. Elsewhere in the Bible, it says, death no longer holds its sting because Jesus has won the victory over death. As Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when the disciples were confused about Jesus' statements about heaven, the disciple Thomas said and asked what all of them must have been thinking, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus was reiterating that all roads do not lead to heaven. There are not many paths or religions to God. Jesus is the only way to forgiveness, the only source for truth and knowledge about God, and the only route to eternal life. There are no other options. This statement is so significant to us today because we are surrounded by many beliefs and religions, claiming access to God and a way to earn God's favor and eternal life. But it is only through Jesus that we have a restored relationship with God and access to heaven. And finally, Jesus said, I am the true vine. And you see, by abiding or dwelling with or attaching ourselves to Jesus, we enable his life to flow in and through us by the Holy Spirit. Then we cannot help but bear fruit. And Jesus is representing himself as the gardener that nurtures, tends, and prunes our lives so that we can grow to our full potential and bear much fruit. So maybe you're searching for a way to meet with Jesus for the first time. Perhaps you've already met Jesus in the past. Maybe you feel really close to him now and love him and cherish him. Yet for all of us, no matter who or where we are, Christmas, then we have fulfillment because he is the bread of life. Whether it's to be free from sin because he is the light of the world. Whether it's to be part of God's family because he is the gate at the door, keeping the sheep safe. whether it's to feel loved because he is the good shepherd, whether it's to have everlasting life because he is the resurrection and the life, whether it's to have new life because he is the way, the truth, and the life, or whether it's because we need to grow because he is the vine. We sing, O come, Emmanuel. And truly, Jesus does come into our lives if we are only ready to accept him. God is with us. It's present tense. It's here. It's now. Right in this place. God is with us. So remember the invitation I gave you right at the beginning of tonight. Won't you come? Won't you come to Jesus this Christmas? The opportunity is there. We're going to sing our final carol now, and then there'll be just a little bit more after the final carol before we can have a time of fellowship together. So we're going to sing, and again, stand if you're able to, as we sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Please have a seat. Chris, the final video, please. Thank you. I've watched that video so many times, but it always really catches me emotionally that God is such a loving God that he cares for all of you in this room so, so much. It doesn't matter what you're going through in your life, what issues you're facing, what successes you're having, what joy, what sadness, what grief you're experiencing. God loves you so, so much. You know, Christmas can mean many things to all of us. But ultimately, it boils down to these four words. God is with us. So the challenge for you this evening is, do you want to be with God through his son Jesus? If you want a life-changing experience, the sort of God that follows you and guides you, as Miriam has said to us this evening, then God is with you. If you want to know peace in your life, if you want to set aside all the troubles and the things that are impacting you in your daily life, then God is with you. And if you want this Christmas to be more special than it has ever been before, God is with you. So celebrate in that knowledge. And perhaps, just perhaps, you can say, I am with you, God. I am with you, Jesus, this Christmas. Now, if this evening has meant anything to you or has touched you in a special way, or you really want to be able to speak to somebody about that, then do come and see us afterwards or any of the leadership of the church here. And if you think, well, this place with so many people in it and hustle and bustle as there will inevitably be in a moment is too much for you to experience right now, but you'd still like to talk to somebody, then do go and visit the centre, which is just up at the on the St. Margaret Street there, just where the closed road is, hopefully soon going to be reopened. But if you stroll into there, there are some cards and some leaflets on the table at the back that you can pick up and take as you go. But if you stroll into there, there will be somebody there who can sit with you and talk with you. And just go over the things that you've heard this evening. Don't let this... God is with you. God is with us. Well, we're going to close now, and we're going to have some mince pies and some goodies and enjoy some laughter and some conversation with perhaps people we haven't met for quite some time. Just enjoy each other's company. Now, what I would say, though, is just so that we don't have a massive scrum, I would like to be first in the queue, if that's okay. The mince pies and the goodies will be brought to your table. But if we could nominate on your tables two people to go and facilitate the drinks that are going to be brought to the table, and you better go up to the hatch, I believe, to get those. But just two people from each table, I think you've got something on the table which tells you what drinks are available. You'll need to nominate a waiter or a waitress on your table to do that. But thank you, everybody, for coming. Jodie, did you want to say anything?
I'll just say thank you for coming, everyone, and I hope you've had a good time. Yeah.
Restlessly hold.